our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To make ready for the Lord a people prepared. That is the purpose of the holy season of Advent. To make ready for the Lord a people prepared to truly celebrate his incarnation, to ponder the wonder and the awe, the great indeed is the mystery of our religion, God was manifested in the flesh. To make ready for the Lord a people prepared for his second coming, so that we may truly know how to pray, Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. If you and I recognize that in this season, we have all too many and all too frequent other things for which we need to be prepared. Counting today, there are only 4 more shopping days till Christmas, unless you want to go to Illinois or give groceries. There are so many things to do, and if your household is like ours, you have probably been reminded that you have already saved up far too many things to do on the 24th of December. Can't you spare some time to do them now? But of course, they're used to it after 20-some-odd years, they know the answer is no. But there's so many things that command and demand our attention that we just haven't got time to get so ready for the Lord, people prepared. And of course, we are not new or unique in that problem. The church has suffered that fate for centuries. And I think that is why, over the centuries, people have found antidote and ancilla in the great O Antiphons for Advent, for with their pungent and packed biblical imagery, they help us as God's people to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Briefly this morning, we direct our attention to the 6th O Antiphon for Advent. O King of nations, you answer their longing. O cornerstone, you reconcile nations opposed. Come and save us, whom you have created from dust. O King of nations. That Jesus is King is no surprise. And it would have been no surprise to Israel either. Oh, it may have been a shock to Herod the Great, and it disturbed the political sensibilities of Pontius Pilate, but people knew that God in his promise would send a descendant of David to sit upon the throne of his father forever. He would be King of Israel. But when God, according to his timetable, acted to redeem the world, he ushered in a new era, a new reign of grace that was no longer limited to Israel, but was universal in its scope. He is King of the nations. Yes, he is the glory of God's people Israel, but he is also the light to lighten the Gentiles. He is King of nations, who answers their longing. He is the desire of nations, the longing, the yearning within people for some kind of life with God has gone on since the Garden of Eden. And ancient man and modern man has sought many ways to find the road back to God. But every road that he designed and paved and engineered ended up against a wall. There is no way for us to find the way back to God. There is no way that we can find an answer to our longings within ourselves or our ingenuity. God answers our longings by sending His Son to be the King of nations. He is the cornerstone who reconciles nations opposed. God had promised that He would lay in Zion a precious stone, a cornerstone. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, people did not recognize Him as the cornerstone. Indeed, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Because on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, God has built His church, and He has built you and me by His grace into that as living stones to be His temple in the Spirit. And God's chosen stone is the one who reconciles nations opposed. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting our sins against us, and instead committing to us the message of reconciliation. And He sends forth the heralds of His grace to plead with us as He sends us forth to plead with others, be reconciled to God. And the reconciliation is that God in Christ paid for sin and forgives and loves and makes Himself known as a God of grace and abundant mercy. So He is able to reconcile us to our God and to reconcile us to one another and to reconcile nations that are opposed, and husbands and wives who turn marriage into family feuds, and brothers and sisters in the faith who think that testimony is argumentation and witness is defeating your opponent. And in Christ Jesus we learn how to be reconciled and how to forgive and how to be forgiven. He is the cornerstone who reconciles nations opposed. And so we pray, come and save us whom You have created from death. That is a confession of our abject weakness and inability. We were formed by God of the dust of the ground, and because of sin, dust we are, and to dust we shall return. But God in His grace sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And God became incarnate in Jesus Christ to go the way of man who is made from dust, to suffer the very punishment of death-made people, to die so that we might have peace with God. And He knows our frame. He continues to remember that we are dust, for we do not have a high priest who is untouched by the feeling of our infirmities, but He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And it is to Him that we go in this season of Advent, to the King of nations who answers our longing, to the cornerstone who reconciles nations oppose. To him we go with prayer and pleading, come and save us, whom you have created from dust. And that is not just pious wish. It is not just thought for even time or hope for the season, but it is firm and confident expectation. And so there is a response to this antiphon as well. To this prayer that the King of Nations and the Cornerstone, the answer to longing, the reconciler of nations opposed, might come and save us. And with confidence and with expectation, we have learned to sing, rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. He shall indeed. And so, rejoice.